gingerbread. Other than that, I'd watched a lot of television that summer. My mother had taught me how to play solitaire, and when that got old, I tackled places in our house that nobody had cleaned in a long time, which was how I'd earned the $1.50 that was burning a hole in my pocket for another puzzle book. These days, even a kid as weird as I was would do his playing on a Game Boy or a PlayStation. But back then, only certain families had Nintendo. We weren't one of them. I thought about girls all the time at this point, but there was nothing going on in my life where they were concerned besides thoughts. I had just turned 13. I wanted to know about everything to do with women and their bodies, and what people did when they got together, people of the opposite sex, and what I needed to do so I could get a girlfriend sometime before I turned 40 years old. I had many questions about sex, but it was clear my mother was not the person to discuss this with, though she herself brought it up on occasion. In the car on the way to the store, for instance. "Your body is changing, I guess," she said, gripping the wheel. No comment. My mother stared straight ahead, as if she was Luke Skywalker, manning the controls of the X-Wing jet, headed to some other galaxy. The Mall. When we got to the store, my mother had gone with me to the boys' section, and we'd picked out the pants. Also, a pack of underwear. "I guess you'll need shoes, too," she said, in that tone of voice she always had when we went places now, like this whole thing was a bad movie, but since we'd bought our tickets, we had to stay till the end. "My old ones are still okay," I said. What I was thinking was, if I got shoes on this trip too, it might be a long time before we came here again, where, if I held off on the shoes, we'd have to come back. Once school started, I'd need notebooks and pencils and a protractor and a calculator. Later, when I brought up the shoes and she said, "Why didn't you tell me when we were at the store last time?" I could point out the rest of the items on my list, and she'd give in. We finished with the clothes part. I'd put the things I picked out in our cart and headed over to the section where they sold the magazines and paperbacks. I started flipping through an issue of Mad, though what I really wanted was to look at the Playboys. They sealed those up in plastic wrapper. Now I could see my mother across the rows of merchandise, wheeling our cart through the aisles. Slowly, like a leaf in a slow-moving creek, just drifting. No telling what she might put in the cart. Though later I would learn. One of those pillows you put on your bed so you can sit up at night reading. A handheld battery-operated fan, but not the batteries. A ceramic animal, a hedgehog, or something along those lines, with grooved sides where you scattered seeds that you kept moist until, after a while, they sprouted, and the animal would be covered with leaves. "It's like a pet," she said, "only you don't have to worry about cleaning out the cage." Hamster food, I had reminded her. We needed that, too. I was engrossed in an issue of Cosmopolitan that had caught my eye, an article called "What Women Wish Men Knew That They Don't," when the man leaned over and spoke to me. He was standing in front of the section right next to the puzzles, which was magazines about knitting and gardening. You wouldn't think a person who looked the way he did would want to read about these things. He wanted to talk to me. "I wonder if you could give me a hand here," he said. This was where I looked at him. He was a tall person. You could see the muscles on his neck and the part of his arms that wasn't covered by his shirt. He had one of those faces where you can tell what the skull would look like with the skin gone, even though the person's still alive. He was wearing the kind of shirt that workers wear at Price Mart, red, with a name on the pocket. Vinny. And when I looked at him closer, I saw that his leg was bleeding, to the point where some of the blood had soaked through his pants leg onto his shoe, which was actually more like a slipper. "You're bleeding," I said. "I fell out a window." He said it the way a person would if all that happened to him was he got a mosquito bite. Maybe this was why, at the time, this didn't seem like such an odd remark. Or maybe it was that everything seemed so odd back then, this comment in particular didn't stand out. "We should get help," I told him. I was guessing my mother would not be the best one to ask, but there were many other shoppers here. It felt good, him choosing me, out of everyone. This wasn't usually how things went. "I wouldn't want to upset anyone," he said. "A lot of people get scared when they see blood. They think they're going to catch some kind of virus, you know," he said.